Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
There it is. Well, the sermon is called The Scandal of Grace, and grace is a scandal. Do you realize that? Yeah. Look at that first slide. There's a song that we sing sometime in worship, and it says, "Grace, what have you done? Murdered for me on that cross. Accused in absence of wrong, my sin washed away in your blood. The scandal of grace, you died in my place." Scandalous. A lot of people say, you know what? I just don't think that's what really happened. God would not let his son die for us. Well, see, if his son doesn't die for us, who has to die? All of us. That's right. Yep. So John 1:16 says, "And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace." Wow, that means grace on top of grace. So you got abundant grace. You got grace running over. You got grace every time you turn around. Get up in the morning, there's grace. Go to bed at night, there's grace. Go to the dinner table, there's grace. Say hi to your wife, your husband, there's grace. It's all over the place, on top of grace. "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." So what's so scandalous about the grace of God? Here it is. It justifies the ungodly. It lets people in that should never have been let in. Do y'all remember the story of the wedding feast? Whenever the man said, "Hey, look, the banquet's all ready, and the people that were invited didn't come." So he sent out his servants to the highway and tell them to come on in, the good and the bad. Have y'all ever invited a bad person to church? Sometimes we meet somebody and we'll say to somebody, "You know, they're such a nice guy. He's a good person. We ought to invite him to church." I say we ought to be doing just the opposite. You find some ornery person out there and say, "We ought to get him in church because the church is for the good and the bad." Just let the grace of God get a hold of them. So here's some things that are wrong with grace. You ready? Got it? Okay. It's free. Hey, we don't like something that's free. Sometimes we like it free, but when it comes to salvation, we want to roll our own. There's no self-satisfaction. I can't take any credit. There's no work to do. You mean Jesus did it all? Yes. Well, I thought we had to meet him halfway. Where in the Bible does it say meet him halfway? No. Okay. So there's no work to do. There's no sacrifice. What? I can't have religion without sacrifice. No, sorry. Jesus was the sacrifice. He's the only sacrifice. We don't sacrifice. He did it. He did everything necessary for your salvation. There's nothing to earn. It's not reasonable. That's an objection. Just doesn't make sense. Why would God do that for us? And there's no sense of accomplishment. Has anybody ever watched that TV show, the Ninja Warriors? And they've got this big obstacle course. And it's really hard. And these people train year in and year out, every day. They set up their own obstacle course at home. Well, you know what? A lot of people wish salvation was like that. Because if they could make it through that obstacle course, boy, at the end it's, yay, you know, you're a hero and everybody loves you and everybody's clapping and everybody recognizes you. Well, that's just not the way it works. Sorry, you don't get that kind of recognition. Jesus gets all the glory and all the recognition. Oh, so here we go. Here's some more. You want some more? I got some more. There's no reward for extra effort. There's no 12-step program. The prize is at the beginning instead of the end. That would be cool on the Ninja Warrior, wouldn't it? Yeah. The guy's fixing to take off and run through the course, and somebody taps him on the shoulder and says, "You won!" Somebody else ran the race for you. He won, and the results went into your file. He won, but you got the trophy. What now? All right. So, It negates religious effort. There's a whole lot of effort in religion. Yeah. We're all just working for God. Maybe you've said that or something. Y'all, we're just all working for God. No, we're part of the family. You might be working, but God's producing it through you. See, that's how it works. So we can rest while we work. I got a scripture for that in a minute. There's no balance in the scales. God does something, I have to respond, I have to do this. He does something, I try to be worthy of it and all that stuff and make sure I've responded appropriately. There's no self-justification, which I want very badly. I want to be self-justified in my old nature. But see, he's given us a new nature. But the old creature, he wants self-justification. And here's the biggest scandal of all. Somebody else does it for me. Somebody else does it for me. So Romans 3:24-25. All have sinned and are justified by his grace as a gift. Wow. Have you ever gotten a Christmas present and you opened it up and you said, uh-oh, I didn't get him anything. Uh-oh, I'm going to have to go find something. Let me go rummage through my drawer in there and I can find an old gift card. It's got to be reciprocal. Or what if you got a gift? Somebody says, hey, here's your birthday gift. And you pull out your wallet and you say, how much do I owe you for that? What are you talking about? It's a gift. You don't pay me for it. So it's a grace is a gift. It's a free gift of eternal life through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation, an atonement, by his blood. See, we were not saved by his teachings, we were saved by his blood. To be received by faith. So always think of faith as not some virtue, just think of faith as a connector. So God did it, yes, but you have to connect to it. You have to hear about it, and you believe it. And then you're receiving it into your life. And then your whole life is based on what God did for you, not what you're doing for God. You see, it's all God, because it was not man that built a bridge from here to eternity. That's religion. It's always trying to build a bridge between us and God, trying to get there. But no, what grace did, it built a bridge from heaven to earth and said, here you go, totally free. And it's for you. He died in your place. All right, let's see that next slide there. Oh, yeah. Preachers get more amens when they preach on hell than on the grace of God. Yeah. I hear sometimes church people, not you folks, say, boy, we need some more of that hellfire and damnation preaching. I've never heard anybody say, we need more preaching on the grace of God. We need more grace. So here's grace defined. The Greek word is charis. Charis means favor. Charis means undeserved favor or approval. It's sort of the root word of charisma, charismatic. That means it's full of grace. It's what God has done. It's not our giftedness. It's God's giftedness to us. So here's the best two-word definition of grace that I've got for you. Are y'all ready? Prepare yourselves for this. It means God produced. Doesn't mean go plow. It means God produced. God did it. So what about your salvation? What's your testimony? God did it. What? That's it? That's all there is? Don't you have to do something? No. I can't help him at all. I'm totally helpless to get anywhere with God. He did it all. Judgment has been set aside and everyone is invited to the banquet. the good and the bad. So here's what else I like to say about grace. Grace does something. That's what I want to say. Grace is the activity of God. Grace is always doing something. It's not just a kind disposition toward us. It's His power to accomplish full salvation. Romans 5:2 says, through Him we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Where are we standing? We're standing on grace. How are we going to get into heaven? Grace. St. Peter asked you when you come up to the pearly gates, why should I let you in? You'll say, oh, well, listen, it's not anything I've done. It's that man over there with the nail prints in his hands. I'm here because he said I could be here. He made a way for me to be here. That's the only reason. So we have access by faith. In other words, we believe it. We connected to that. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I was thinking about that, rejoicing in hope of the glory of God. What is the hope of glory? Is that the glory that Jesus has, the relationship that He has with the Father, He has given us the same opportunity, the same relationship with the Father as He has. Yeah. Wow, that's something. Go see, we see Jesus is way up here. Well, we can't be there where He is. No, the Bible says we're seated with Him in heavenly places, and we have the same relationship. Jesus said, I go to my Father and to your Father. Yeah. That's elevation, isn't it? Undeserved, but yet. So get out of that saying, I don't deserve it. Don't say, I'm not worthy. Yeah, that's all true, but He still did it. It's not because He saw potential in you. He did it just because He loves you. That's right. So it's not because you were lovable. It's because God is love that He did it. I'm starting to get happy just preaching this. I hope you're getting happy listening to it. 2 Corinthians 9:8. God is able to make all grace. How much grace? All. All grace abound to you. So, not only is it all grace, but it's running over. It's just flowing down. It's getting all over us. You can swim in it. It's just running over, abound to you, so that having all sufficiency. Wow. How about a declaration you wake up in the morning and say, God, I thank You that Your grace right now is abounding to me. All grace. All the grace that You have. I'm feeling it, Lord. I believe it, Lord. It's abounding to me right now, and I have all sufficiency. Not only all sufficiency for some things, all sufficiency in all things. I mean, it just gets better and better. All things at all times, morning, noon, and night, you may abound in every good work. Okay, wow. I could just dwell on that, kind of like Dale did last night with that one scripture. He preached the whole time on that one scripture. So, we are not saved by works, but through grace, means God produced, working in us. We can now do the works of God. So, we're not saved by our works, the scripture says. Oh, that's Ephesians. Let's go ahead and look at it. Ephesians 2. For by grace you have been saved through faith. So it's grace through faith. It's not just grace. If it was just grace, everybody'd be saved and wouldn't even know it. But you got to connect to it, and then you start experiencing the goodness of God and the grace that's running over and all sufficiency and all that stuff, because our faith is connecting to it. And this is not your own, this is not your doing. Let me add parenthetically, somebody else did it for you. All right, that's how it is. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, that anybody could boast. I've got more works than you do, that type of thing. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So, You might say, well, we're not saved by works, so I don't do any works. Now, wait a minute. God saved you so that you could do the works of God, and they are God-produced. So grace produces them. Now let's, next slide. Grace does not satisfy any religious need. I kind of said that a while ago. But, like, I need approval. I want to be justified. I require an obstacle to overcome. I aspire to greatness. I want others to recognize my righteousness. There's a book called The Subversion of Christianity. And there's a quote in here I like. It says, we will never be able to do what God requires. No matter what may be our passion or love for the law or our scruples and virtues, it is never enough. So on your own, you'll never get there. If you had 100 lifetimes, you would never get there or accomplish what Jesus accomplished in those few hours when he hung on the cross for you. His blood was shed for you. That's what it took. Titus 3:3 says, this is one of my favorite ones. I like to get congregational participation in this one. Okay, so you see it up there? There it is. Oh, well, first of all, okay. So this screen and then the next one will, there's two people involved here. One is God and the other is us. So whenever you see something that is about yourself, just say us, okay? And when it's about God, just say God. So I'll give you a little pause there that you can respond. So we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, us, passing our days in malice and envy, us, hated by others and hating each other, us. Okay, now, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, God, saved us. All right, so he saved us. We didn't save ourselves. We didn't meet him halfway. I like it. It's just blanket. He saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, God, by the washing of regeneration, God, and renewal of the Holy Spirit, God. Well, looky there. It sounds like we're the person, we're the people in need, and somebody outside of us took care of it. God. It's a real good little witnessing scripture, too, to help people understand how the grace of God works. But let's finish that little scripture. Titus 3:6 says, whom he poured out on us richly. Well, first of all, he poured out. I should have stopped. He poured out God on us, through Jesus Christ our Savior, God, so that being justified by his grace, us, his grace, God, we might become heirs, us, according to the hope of eternal life, us. That's what we get. We didn't accomplish it. He accomplished it for us. Here's another quote from this author. I can't even say his name, so just read it. He said, note well that we are justified by his blood. The worst possible injury is done to us. We are dispossessed of grandeur, autonomy, and the faculty of justice. Someone justified us from the outside. A sovereign prince grants grace to subjects who are prostrate before him in filth and abjection that they cannot cast off on their own. We cannot give ourselves this righteousness. That's powerful. Here's the problem. The sinner wants a different way. Sinners don't really want grace. They want self-justification. There's got to be something positive and worthy in them, and their futile efforts to be good enough to be recognized and approved by God. What does God approve of? The one thing in all of history, what does God approve of? That's right, Jesus and his death on the cross. That's what God recognizes. That's the only thing. Doesn't recognize anything that we do. He recognized what Jesus did. So we want to be justified from the inside. Hey, God, look in here. Don't you see some potential? I mean, I really do love you, man. We want to be justified from the inside. We don't want someone, God, from the outside to accomplish something that has always eluded us. So again, grace is more than God's forgiveness. It's more than God's favor. It's more than acquittal of sin. It's those things, but it's more. More than acquittal of sin. Grace is God's ability to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Remember earlier I said grace always does something. It's not just a kindly thought. Wasn't that nice of God to save us? No, that's a powerful act. Jesus dying upon the cross, the amount of love that he had for us, that the Father showed through him, incomprehensible. Yet he did it. He did for us what we cannot do for ourselves. So grace is God's willingness to get involved with his power on our behalf to accomplish what we cannot do for ourselves. And he's able to what he began, what we call salvation. Jesus died on the cross, I accept that, I invited him into my heart. But he continues the process all the way until we get to glory. He'll complete it. Grace continues to work in our life. It's not just to save you from hell, but to be a part of the new creation in what God is doing upon the earth. So here's a little thing that Max Lucado, all right, Doug, this is the mercy and the grace thing that I was telling you about. Mercy gave Ruth some food. Grace gave her a husband and a home. Mercy gave the prodigal son a second chance, but grace threw him a party. Mercy prompted the Samaritan to bandage the wounds of a victim, but grace prompted him to leave his credit card as a payment for the victim's care. Grace does something. Mercy forgave the thief on the cross, but grace escorted him into paradise. Yeah. So every religion can tell you what you must do in order to please God, but there's no grace anywhere in any other religion. There's no grace. It's up to you. Christianity is the only one that has grace. There's nothing else except in the blood of Jesus. The gospel of grace is the only one that tells us what God did for sinners who were unable to save themselves. Ah, here we go. Last slide. Don't sell the grace of God short. He has given you grace on top of grace. You have the Father's ring on your finger. You have his credit card. God is celebrating your adoption in the family. How did that happen? Grace did it. Got it? Do I need to start over? All right. Let's have a prayer. And if there's a few people that we need to remember in prayer, just go ahead and just mention a name. We're keeping Matthew Lemon in our prayers. He's in rehabilitation and doing great, I think. But let's just pray for God to complete that. Others. Jonathan's teeth. It's still sore. Okay. Parker's on traveling. Yes. Okay. How about just say, me? Yeah, that's right. I'm going to pray that God, yeah, there you go, buddy. We're going to just pray that God will just pour out grace on top of grace. How about a healing grace? Yeah, God accomplishes healing through his grace. Okay. So, Lord, we receive that. We thank you that we have received grace on top of grace. It's for, and it's all sufficiency. That's when this grace comes upon us, Lord. Yeah, we have all sufficiency to do everything that we need to do, so that your will is not something hard to do. You make it easy. Jesus said, "Come unto me, and I will put you to work." No, he didn't say that. "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." So we're actually working while we're resting, and resting while we're working. So that's the way it's supposed to be, just serving our Lord. We're not working for him. We're his children. So, Lord, we just thank you for that grace on top of grace. And we just pray, Lord, to just rest upon us right now in a powerful way, with your healing, with your life, with your recovery, with your restoration, with your forgiveness, with your calling, with the work. Just all of it, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that which you have called us to do, you already accomplished it all in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you as we go over to the other building to share food. We pray your blessing upon it and our fellowship. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you all for being here. All right, you can put Chris Thompson.